The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed this is, on this June 8th, 2022, the voice of the Christian resistance. And boy, I'm going to tell you, I mean Christian resistance out there nowadays, folks. We're the Christians that are resisting the Antichrist system to the utmost. Now, we have with us tonight, he turns the dials with a smile, none other than Board Up, Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
And then we have, she is... I would have to say she's Miss Apothecary USA. She's known as the Medicine Marm. And I can tell you, through personal experience, a very real lady, Miss Wendy Wilson.
Good evening, Pastor.
Good evening, young lady. And we out yonder, we have my co-pastor, my buddy for years, all of for decades, and... co-anchor here, none other than Pastor Joe Larson.
Good evening. It is a good pleasure to be with you tonight. And Wendy, hello. Welcome.
Hello, Joe. Pastor Joe.
I've spent a good portion of my life watching Joe grow old.
Notice you never seem to age, right?
Well, I don't think I'd exactly say that, but anyhow...
You always mention my age. Interesting. Yeah.
Already. Listen, we're not going to tell the folks which one of us is the older. But anyhow, title of this message was, you ready for this, Wendy? An open letter to the enemies of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And where we left off, Joe, we just got started on Revelation 21. Boy, we're going to be dealing with this, especially tomorrow night. We have a lot of fireworks going on tomorrow night. And when we're talking about lies, oh my gosh. So, we just got started.
The liars in the world are going to be on stage performing live.
Professional liars. I mean, these guys would even make lawyers blush, okay?
Hey, live on stage. They've got a Hollywood director to do the dog and pony show.
It's called Lying Live. And yeah, it's put on by the Democratic Communist Party. Anyhow, let's go back to where we left off, because we just got started in Revelation 21, verse 8. Now, Wendy, you just got to jump in, you know, with a real loud voice.
Read verse 8 again?
Yeah, let's read verse 8, because we left off after with the We read the fearful and unbelieving, and we left off there. So let's pick it up. Go ahead and read the entire verse.
But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
Okay, when we talk about the abominable, the abominable, the first time that word's used is to describe sodomy. And this is Sodomite month. This is celebrating Sodomite pride. Pride comes before the fall. You know, God says he hates a prideful man. He hates a prideful man. And here, what do we have? Well, we have an abominable. It's an abominable prideful month that they're celebrating. I think Joe Obama is going to fly in the Sodomite flag over the White House. The CIA now has become, they are promoting and celebrating sodomy. Taco Bell is celebrating sodomy. The Detroit Tigers are celebrating sodomy. And so here they're celebrating.
Did you know they even raised the pride flag at the U.S. Embassy to the Holy See in Italy?
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it a bit, okay. And so there you go. This is the world saying to God, in your face, God. In other words, they're saying, the flood's over with and Sodom and Gomorrah's gone. In your face, God. You're going to conform and you're going to be what government tells you, God. Do you think God's got other plans?
I think he has some very different plans.
Okay, and so here... So you talk about the abominable and murderers, and of course the entire Democratic Party. That's why they're called Democratic. They want death. They want for any reason, whether it's we just read last night about another one person coming out, one of those that was going to break the news, a whistleblower on the Clinton connection with Epstein and Sodomite Island. Here, another one ended up dead, being arc-incited, just like the last one before, hung by their necks until they're dead. And so here, he goes on and he talks about, and of course, abortion, euthanasia. The Democratic Communist Party will take death any way it can get it. Whoremongers, okay. Joe, what's a whoremonger?
That would be... anybody that is selling out for money, selling their soul or their body for money.
Okay, well, so it's not just, those are whores. Whoremongers, Joe, are those that associate or those that take part with the whores. In other words, they're the ones that's giving.
What we would call the Johns.
Right. They're the ones that are complacent with the whores. And so they themselves...
That's right, yeah.
So what does it say in Hosea 4? It says that they themselves have become whores too, okay? So those are whoremongers. So those that are with the whores...
The company you keep, in other words.
Right. And so, again, you would call them Johns for his one expression, but then you have the political aspect of it
right out
there too. And then here, you ready for this? We'll let Wendy handle this one. And sorcerers, Wendy, tell us about sorcerers.
Oh, witchcraft. People that, delve into, idol worship and worshiping the devil and stuff.
What about pharmakia? That's what it means.
Yeah.
Pharmakia.
Yeah, right.
So,
yeah,
so
well,
where?
That's what it is. It's alchemy. It's, it's not really scientifically based, is it?
Is it Pfizer?
Not really.
Is it Johnson & Johnson?
Yeah.
And so,
all your big pharmas.
So these are sorcerers, according to God's word in the Bible. Does God ever get it wrong?
No, he does not.
Okay, and what are these sorcerers doing? Have these sorcerers been killing people with a kill shot? Making people sick, deformed with a kill shot, left and right.
Even before you're talking about that, drug therapy. People die on taking their drugs as recommended, as prescribed every day. So that's a big epidemic. That's a big problem.
250,000 people over die annually on prescription drugs. That means those are the drugs that they buy that are supposed to help them. They either overdose
right.
or they get the wrong prescription, or one drug counteracts with the other.
Yeah,
and then
like I was just reading about some of the types of antibiotics, and one type of antibiotic, Cipro, falls into that category. It has been known to cause blindness and ligament tears and all kinds of things that can permanently disable people. 1 in 150 patients has that problem taking the drug.
I've never. What is that called?
It's the I'll pull it up in a minute, but it's Cipro. It's an antibiotic.
Okay, I've never heard of that one. Anyhow, let's move on to idolaters. What's an idolater? Who can tell me what an idolater is?
It's one who worships idols, and in our case, it could be money, fame, power, anything that becomes an obsession in your life. That you're worshiping.
So anything that you actually worship,
other words, God.
Right, anything you put before God, right?
Right.
Okay, so and then he goes on to say, and all liars. Boy, I'm going to tell you, I've never seen such a time when you have more contracted, paid political liars than we do today. It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable, Joe. And so, and Wendy.
Yep.
And so,
there's an awful lot. God has so many things on liars. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. Lies are one of those... six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven, and one of them is what, liar?
Yep, a lying tongue.
A lying tongue, yes. So, I mean, there's a whole three pages of quotes on lies in Scripture.
Well, I think we just read one last night, and that was over in Proverbs. In fact, if I remember right... do you remember which one was? It was Proverbs. Mm-hmm. Let me see. Proverbs 19:5.
Oh, 19. Okay.
Proverbs 19:5.
A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape.
And then Proverbs 6. But in fact, if you go down about the three verses there, and you'll see in Proverbs, if I remember right, you have, let me see. Let me go over there real fast. I just wanted to check because I'm pretty sure that it hits on that same thing twice, right in that verse with maybe one or two words different. And here we go.
Proverbs 6, verse what?
Well, let me know. Let me go to Proverbs 19:5. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. Here you go. Then verse 9. Again, now here this is only four verses apart. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish.
Perish.
So, yep. So there.
5 and 9 shall not escape, and the difference is in 9 shall
one
not
word,
perish.
One word, yeah. Yep. Shall not perish. So.
He's making
all right.
Something quite clear, right?
Yeah, yeah. And so now, yes, ma'am.
Yes, that Cipro is in a class of drugs called fluoquinone, and please research your drugs carefully before you take those.
Okay, well, Wendy, I hate to tell you, but Pastor Joe don't know anything about fluoquinone.
No.
And so,
nope. And, now, one thing, one of the original uses of pharmakia back in Scripture back then was for women to be able to abort a child. They would make them sick enough to lose the child, but they would live. And nowadays, one of the biggest things in our pharmaceutical market is the
RU486.
RU486. RU for, you know, killing. Killing the baby.
Pastor, I heard,
one of the biggest
I heard they
things.
Changed
so
the
things
name
don't
to that.
Change, do they?
No. You heard they changed the name to that?
Yeah, they don't call it RU486. They call it something else now.
Oh.
Well,
one of the governors, we just said...
The minute we get onto something, they keep changing words and their meanings.
I think it was Tennessee. One of the governors just banned, by executive order, the use of that, receiving that in the mail, that being mailed in that, in their state, which is good. That's one good thing. Okay, let's go down, Joe,
Before I forget, they changed the name to Milfelpricks.
Oh,
Milfelpricks.
Okay.
That's what they call it.
There's got to be some satanic thing in there. RU486 means RU for killing. That's yeah. What 86, that was a military term that we used to use when they said, you know, 86 them, okay? That means go take him out, okay?
Where did that start from? Where did that come from, 86 means kill him? How did they get that?
Probably some old soldier, I don't know.
And, I know what it means, but I don't know who started it.
I didn't.
Yeah.
Don't blame that one on me. But anyhow, there you go. Well, it's just like I talked to a lady just in this past week, two of them, and they had the name Karens. And I kept hearing these women being referred to as Karens. And I thought, where in the world did that come from? So I asked my wife, what is a Karen? And she said it's a woman who is, you know, filled up, you know, full of herself. One of those people that are, you know, like a joyless blowhard on PU The View or Whoopi Cushion Goldberg. But anyhow.
Hey, Pastor.
Yeah.
I just did a quick Google search of 86, where did it come from? The United States has a uniform code for military justice, and there's Article 86, which means absence without leave or AWOL. So... they were using it as a shorthand term, so they would just write 86 instead of writing out that whole code.
Oh. Yeah.
So in combat, it was take them out, get them
out. Take them out. Maybe it means the same, Joe, that they're gone. They're not with us now, okay?
They're not with us. They're AWOL. They're going to be AWOL from their group.
Yeah, I hear you.
Right.
Alrighty.
All right, thank you.
Anyhow, see, that's why we have her here, because she's the smartest one. She knows how to look these things up. Okay, here, Joe, we can look one up. Look up Romans chapter 1 and verse 24.
Romans 1, 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves.
Now, who's he talking about?
He's talking about those who rejected God, professing themselves to be wise. They
became fools,
but no, he's way and didn't follow God.
Well, but he's talking specifically about what they call LGBTQ today, sodomites.
Yeah.
Okay, sodomites and lesbians. Because if you keep reading, he tells you what, that the women went for change the use of their own body, and men went meant for men. So he's talking about sodomy and lesbianism. And so here now, this is, again, June, they have as sodomite to celebrate sodomy, that sin, that abominable thing. And now some of these so-called churches are doing that there right now.
Celebrating,
you know,
Pride Month, yeah. They're right along with it.
And, I mean, one by one by one, so... Is that prophesied in Scripture? Does it say there that in later times many will depart from the faith?
Sure does.
Yep.
That's what we're seeing. We're seeing it right before our eyes, real time, huh?
Well, I got one story we can do later, just the headline, U.S. Mennonites vote to approve same-sex marriage, United Methodist Church splits over LGBT issues.
Okay, so I'm sure that... Joe Obama Biden will be flying the sodomite flag over the White House. People used to say that Bill and Hillary turned the White House into a whorehouse, but now they're they're calling it pedophile place with Joe Biden in there. Now, with the recent school, and I mean false flag, folks, false flag Manchurian candidate shooting there in Texas, it seems that the left is so concerned. I mean, they are so concerned about all of those little children. You know the ones I'm talking about, the ones that got away that didn't get aborted, the ones that they weren't able to kill by abortion. Anyhow, so to ensure their safety, the left, the Antichrist communist left, they want to disarm those of us that are law-abiding to ensure that only the lawless will be armed. They want to make sure.
So that every place will be a gun-free, safe space for killers.
We're going to be playing, yeah.
These killers do not go into heavily armed places where people, like out here, we had a big rodeo, the little town that I live near. And, you know, it was a big, big event, people all over. And more people were wearing guns in their hips. You know, very few people even bothered to conceal them. They were men, women, you know. Everybody was packing in that place. Nobody's going to cause trouble in a place like that. There'd be 1,000 people with guns pointed at them in a heartbeat.
Today I ran into my sheriff, and he was sitting there as I come walking through a restaurant. He was there with a couple of his deputies with a great big smile ear to ear. And so I said, hey, we got to get together. Are you ready for what's coming? He says, that's what we need to talk about. But this is happening across the country now. People are going to their county sheriffs. And they, because look, they're right now, the Democratic Communist Party, we've been warning people. Joe Obama has been bringing in these men who are fighting age and building together cell groups all across the country. And so now, even right now, the FBI is purging. The FBI is purging anyone who has conservative leanings at all. In other words, anyone who is a decent, honorable person, the FBI is getting rid of. They don't want any honest, decent person within the FBI. They're purging them now. Anyone that have any kind of conservative leanings.
That came from Jim Jordan of Ohio, who sent letters to FBI Director Christopher Wray Tuesday alleging they were purging the conservatives, and he has several whistleblowers, including a decorated Iraqi war veteran, facing retaliation for comments they made that didn't go along with the agenda. And they've got over a half dozen FBI members who are whistleblowers, and they are trying to get rid of all of them in the FBI, all conservatives, all Christians.
Yep. And so here, well, remember when we had our big battle, when McTurner and I had our battle with a war college, and then I had called the Justice Department, you know, and asked them, I talked to someone, if they know of any, that they had like 1,700 lawyers there. And I asked him, do you know of any Christians? I talked to a guy, a lawyer, he says, I know personally. I says, well, could you do me a favor? Could you ask to see if anyone there that you're working with knows of any Christians? He said, give me a minute. Let me ask a few people. So we went, and he was asking people, and he come back and says, I'm sorry, but we don't know of any Christians here at all. Not one. There you go. And so that's your so-called Justice Department. And I can tell you one, they got a dirty, dirty cop running that, Merrick Garland.
They got a dirty cop running the FBI.
Yep. And so
it has been the past two or three of them.
Yeah, I know it. And McTurnan hit the nail on the head on that one, 10 years ago. He was telling, look, well, here's what's happening over there. Because he used to work with them all the time. And I had some very good friends in the FBI. In fact, I did three radio programs with FBI agents sitting in the studio with me, okay? And they were not ashamed of who they were. They were decent people, and they were clean. They weren't dirty. And they took an oath, and they believed it. And today, these people think they're smart. Let me tell you, God is not mocked. God is not mocked, okay? And, Chris Ray's got that little smirk on his face all the time. Well, Chris Wray had better, if he doesn't repent, I mean really repent, and seek forgiveness of God and get saved, that smirk is not going to be there, right? It'll look all completely different. You people out there, look, you dirty cops, we don't hate you. You hate us, but we don't hate you. But we're telling you this. God's not mocked, and you better listen to what we're telling you, because that's why we're here. We're sent here to tell you, to bring you what God has said. Thus saith the Lord God. Yep.
We so want anyhow, no one to go to hell, like just like our Father in heaven said, he wants no one, we want no one to go to hell, and we are trying desperately to warn people not to go there.
It's repent or perish. Okay, you dirty cops, this one's for you. Go ahead and play that tune. We'll be right back.
Now we can see a new world coming into view. A world in which there is the very real prospect of a new world order.
The New World Order does not mean surrendering our national sovereignty or forfeiting our interests.
Your eyes are blinded by the lies. Yes, your eyes are blinded by the lies.
2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And folks, here, that's blinded by the lies which you have out there. NBC, ABC, CBS, they're all a lying to you. Anyhow, I tell you who's not lying to you, and that is Miss Wendy Wilson and her apothecary herbs. She is, she's no herbal gerbil. She is the lady who knows her medicine, medicine marm, we call her around here. And let me tell you, you ought to write this phone number down. You'll need it. It's 866-229-3663. We're going to play a clip on the second hour here today. And folks, it's very important that you listen to this clip because it's going to be giving you a little insight on what's coming your way and what you need to do to prepare. And, of course, one of the things you really need to do is to get stocked up on some of these real natural medicines now, because you may not be able to get them with what's coming our way. And with that, Miss Wendy, what do you have for us tonight?
Well, I thought we'd talk about some of this new research and this gene editing. What it's really saying in a lot of this research is they're managing the human identity. So that's real important to understand, because the potential really to manipulate human genes right now within scientific medicine is a big reality. So and really, we don't know how far science is going to go. It's already really into some professionals in the field. They think it's already gone astray. So what gene editing can do is really quite far-reaching, as you can imagine. It can influence your cellular functions, your emotions, your memories, your immune system, and a whole lot more. So what science is doing is experimenting with the genetic complexity that makes each of us an individual very unique, what God created. However, the standardization of things seems to be on the mind of the scientific world, from crops to humanity. They want to, they want to edit, they want to control, and they want to standardize everything. You've probably heard from the European Union and their food harmonization code. They want to standardize everything. So, in other words, all spinach should have the same amount of nutrition and elements in it, which is really insane, because any crop grown in different parts of the world is not going to have the same amount of everything, because so much comes into play, the soil, the water, the sunshine, the rain. So, but they want to standardize everything. Now, so what they're doing is they're trying to redesign what God made, is basically what they're doing. So what the gene editing is doing is redesigning the molecule mechanisms that influence cellular functions. So the gene that is edited can change genetic stem cells. It can change your emotions, your hormones, your immune system cells, your bones even, to make, your blood, and also brain cognitive abilities, your reproductive system, and on it goes. So changing the characteristics of our cells is the grassroots of creation. And a little gene edit here and there, and before you know it, well, technology enhancements come into play, and the human body will surely change our perspective on what it is to be human. Here's a quote from the journal Science, April 2017. They say, genetic technologies have the ability to change the characteristics of our cells and perhaps our individual and human identities, end of quote. What do you think of that, Pastor?
Well, I know what the Apostle Paul thought of that in 1 Timothy chapter 6. He said this, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane, vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. In other words, they were calling what they were doing, say, with the pharmakia, the sorcery. They were calling sorcery. They were calling this lunacy, this madness, like what you're talking about, They were calling it science. But God doesn't call it science. He calls it sin. He calls it, and actually, what it is, it's invading God's dominion.
Well, I look at it as they're trying to steal God's copyright.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. That might be a good way of putting it.
Yeah, the journal Science went on to say, genetic technologies are likely to force us to revisit historical arguments of what constitutes personhood, end of quote. Really? Goodness. These people are warped in the head, you know?
Well, none of them have known what a woman is, and now it's going to be, they're not going to know what a person is either, I don't think.
No.
Well, and that will come into play where, you know, they want to meld man and animal together genetically. Yeah.
Well,
so do you remember some of the fable stories of fawns? You know what I'm talking about?
The fable
the
story of fawns. Oh, yeah.
The fairy tale fables where they had fawns, which was a man with the body of a deer and a torso and arms and head. right, Pan, exactly. So they want to go there. That's why, you know, see, if you go on the internet and you Google globsters, these are just really weird creatures that kind of wash up on the beach. Okay, and nobody can make any sense of it. And usually when people start, you know, calling people about this or that, and maybe even the police, all of a sudden the thing gets taken away quickly so you don't see it. It's like a head of an alligator and the body of a lion or something. That's what they're like, monsters nobody's ever seen before. So this is like your science out there on floating laboratories doing this kind of research.
You know what? They made a movie about that, Mr. Maru, LaRue. That was an island, and Vincent Price was the mad scientist on that island, and he was making experiments.
When certain countries prohibit, you know, gene stuff like this, then they take it offshore, is what they do. And then when their creation dies, they just throw it overboard.
Huh.
Okay, so what you got is a very complex undertaking that they're doing here, because recently scientists have actually learned the editing, that when you edit one gene, it can affect other genes, and it creates an unknown effect. So science is bold enough to attempt to edit blood-forming stem cells. They're calling it a blood cell gene repair. And, of course, you know, science is pushing the boundaries here, and they're stating that this will help, you know, it'll cure people of diseases and so forth. And you know, just cut this gene out that's a problem. They see it as a problem, and everything will be fixed. But that's not what typically happens. There are unknown effects. And, however, what science is really discovering is that gene edits are not a cut-and-dry procedure. Here's a quote again from Science. They say, this is the new era in medical history, as curing or alleviating suffering, altering mental states, establishing new capabilities, as has long been associated with radical new ideas about the self and its limits, end of quote. Radical for sure, wouldn't you say?
Oh, I would say, yeah.
I've read textbooks a few years back where they were talking about the complexity of a single cell, all of the chemical and all the changes that happen within one little single cell. This one scientist was talking about how complex, what sets off, what gives the orders to process energy, get rid of waste, do all these transfers and all this kind of stuff. It was mind-boggling, the millions and millions of little things that have to happen within one cell to function. And here they're going to change something like a gene. The fallout effects are the mathematical possibilities first of a something happening to a cell to be beneficial versus something that's harmful. We're like you know, astronomical trillion, gazillion, quadrillions to one, that any change would be beneficial rather than harmful to this complex system. And now they're interjecting major changes into something and thinking nothing bad's going to happen. That's my definition of insanity.
Well, Joe, I got to tell you this. Wendy's back. Is Wendy dropped for a minute?
I got dropped.
My cells, Wendy, my cells quit producing energy. And so they just did. They just let me down. Okay. But anyhow.
Called growing old and getting tired when you're trying to put in a 20-hour day at our age.
Yeah.
I tell you. I was asking before I kind of went somewhere into the Ethernet there.
Yeah.
Do you remember Charles Darwin from Science?
Oh, sure.
Okay. So this was according to the April 2019 publication, The Economist, where they were talking about gene editing. It's going to give science formidable powers over human lives never before thought possible. They say the theory is known as natural selection. Remember Charles Darwin's natural selection?
Mm-hmm.
Also known as survival of the fittest. All right. This was Charles Darwin's thing. Well, they're saying that's going to be a dusty relic as science determines what genes get passed on. So mankind really doesn't know what it's really in for as the technologies extend the arm of redesigning what is man and what this will mean for governing bodies, politics, and each individual will most likely unfold into a new species as science attempts to meld man with animals. So make no mistake, this is genetic reengineering of man, and it's going to also bring about eugenics, inequality, dominant species, new society and laws never before seen, and changes to your ecosystem.
Well, you know, Wendy, about 6,000 years ago, there were those who tried the very same thing when they tried to change the genetic system of man with angelic beings, what they called the sons of God. And God says, you know what? You've just transgressed my dominion, so God put a stop to it. And I got a feeling, see, he's immutable. He does things his very same way. And I got a feeling that his cup of indignation is just about full, and he's sitting there, and he's watching, and I got a feeling he's about ready to put a stop to all of that, too, out there. And these people that are mocking, thinking that's funny, they're in for an extremely rude, and I mean extremely rude, awakening. Anyhow.
Oh, I know. Well, this is quite a dangerous undertaking, as you can imagine, what science is going to take. They're going to have a tiger by the tail, for real. And several scientists and others have voiced their concerns on how science has crossed boundaries that are sacred. Here is a quote from Jamie Metzl. He is an author, and he wrote, if we want to avoid dividing our species into genetic haves and have-nots, a dangerous reduction in our diversity as well, or genetic determinism that undermines our humanity, we need to start living our values. We can't let the dark side of human nature be to be empowered through gene editing tools, and we need a strong ethical and cultural framework to use technology wisely. And he's correct. And I've said this over and over again. Science, they have policies, but they don't have any punishments when these scientists cross the line. There's really not any universal international laws because scientists are sharing all this information across the globe. And there's really no local, domestic or international laws that, you know, will put these guys in handcuffs and give them a punishment when they do something they shouldn't. You know, they look the other way, you know.
Guys like Fauci who are giving money to do experiments, and instead of pulling in the reins, they're giving out more money. If you think about it, they're actually supporting it.
Horrible things.
Remember,
right,
God said back in Genesis, And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And then he went on to say it repented that he had made man. And that's when the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. So God didn't take it well the first time. He's not going to take it well the second time.
Right. Well, and exactly, Pastor Joe, would exactly, because that's what we're hearing, too, from a lot of, you know, ethically sound-minded scientists, you know, that, you know, have integrity. They're saying there's a problem in the scientific community, and it's a problem when science edits your gene code and changes what it means to be a human. So without adequate oversight, without regulations and laws that define what is and is not allowed, we are running into this risk and difficulty that we won't be able to peel back the abuse if we don't do something soon. So we already see the potential for a lot of this abuse with treatments that are modifying human DNA through genetic changes, offering those who are patients on treatments for... that's the thing. You were mentioning that, Pastor. I think, you know, there was legal arguments involved with these DNA changes. Weren't you talking about that?
Yeah, absolutely. The pharmaceutical companies wanted to know, since their bioweapons change the DNA of people and they have the patents on those weapons, do they own that person? And I believe the court ruled that whoever owns the patents owns the person.
Craziness, see? So this is really already getting out of hand. We're not going to be able to peel this back if we let it go much further.
It's absolute lunacy, and it's, you know, again, like I said, you know, look, the population of the world at that time was estimated by most theologians and historians as around 8 billion people. It was about 8 billion people, and there were 8 people saved. God saved 8 out of the 8 billion. And we're nearing that now in the world. The world's nearing the same. Remember, God does everything the same. And that number 8 has a particular number, a meaning, too, dealing with mankind. And so,
well, Pastor, prior to the flood, were there a bunch of oceans like we have now, or no?
No, prior to the flood, no.
Okay, so under the ocean is probably an archaeologist's dream, with all kinds of ancient civilizations and stuff, right?
Right. What you had prior to the flood, the water actually came in. A lot of the water came up from outside, underneath the ground. In fact, even today. Right, yeah, today there's massive amounts of fresh water beneath the ground, which is covered with the ocean. And so the water, it opened up, and the water came up out of the ground, and it poured. So this is where a lot of the floods came from, okay?
Well, there's still more water under the earth than all the oceans and everything that we know of now. There's more water than that underneath.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. Any geologist would tell you that.
Yeah, and people have said there's pyramids and stuff under the ocean, you know?
Well, we've seen several things, strange things, under where it looked like landing strips underneath the water made with huge rocks, you know, put together. Yeah, there's a lot of things underground that people don't know about. So, anyhow, yeah. Well, in fact, you know, here, it's an interesting thing, because the Lord was talking about when he comes back that every knee is going to bow, bend, and every head's going to bow for those on the earth and those beneath the earth. And today, too, you have more and more cities, and I mean large cities, being built underground. So,
yeah, well,
there's a...
Yeah, and you know, people do that. I remember recalling a documentary on a physician who, on his vacations, would go scuba diving. This one time, he went down to the St. Thomas, the islands, and stuff like that. Was scuba diving after a storm had blown through, And, you know, when you have a storm, it kind of moves sediment and sand and stuff. So he and his diving buddy found this pyramid under the ocean. But it was just the top of the pyramid that was sticking out of the sand. And there was a hole in the side of the pyramid. It was like a window. It wasn't, you know, damaged or anything, because the top of the pyramid, he says, was crystal. It wasn't stone. And they were able to swim. They said they swam through the crystal opening and into the pyramid. And from the top of the pyramid, there was this long pennant that pointed to a platform where there was a set of gold hands with the wrists attached, and then there was this large crystal sitting in the hands. And the pennant, it looked like gold or bronze or something. And so so they were able to loosen the crystal in the hands, and they took it with them, and they had it analyzed when they got back. And it had some really weird components to it, and they asked for a crystal expert to look at it. And so if you brought any metal whatsoever close to that crystal, it would bend it. A spoon, a knife, a fork, it would just bend over like it was a, you know, wet noodle. But, you know, that's what they did in ancient Babylon. They dealt with crystals and incantations, alchemy. That's part of it.
You know, that movie, The Raiders of the Lost Ark, in that, the same thing, they found this crystal skull, or a crystal, and it was in the, and it would light up, or strange things, it had strange powers, whatever. Maybe that's where they, maybe that's where that come from, huh?
I don't know. But I don't know. I've never encountered a crystal that had any kind of magnetic capabilities or anything like that. But anyway, so I just thought it was strange, you know, for a scientist and medical doctor to be discussing this stuff, you know.
Wendy, you've got 1 minute to give yourself a plug, Apothecary Herbs, right now, because I know things are getting harder to get. And
yes,
so
they,
tell the
they
folks,
are.
Wendy, well, give yourself a plug.
Yeah, they can reach out to us. We have a free product catalog. You can call 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. Ask for a free catalog. If you have internet, we do have a website, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. You can request your catalog there. And lots of information. Sign up for the newsletters if you have email. They're free, and you get empowering health information each week for free. Also, we're working on a new product for the smallpox pastor.
Oh, wow. That's great. We're coming. I got to hear about that. We're coming up to a break. Now, you know, everyone listen to this. Wendy, I hope you stay with us and listen. It's a little bit of a long clip, but I think you want to hear it. So
okay.
We're going to be back right after this. Don't go away. More to come, as always.
Fight the fight. Take a stand. Light the light. Freedom of land. Let's come against the night.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.